Now, the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review, who is also the co-author of Heavy Lifting. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good, bad, and crazy. No, it's not good, bad, and crazy martinis today in the Three Martini Lunch. It's bad, probably crazy, and really crazy towards the end today. We start with the bad. And, Jim, it was, I believe, over the weekend that we found out that Russian airliner taking off from Egypt crashed. All 200-plus people on board were killed, and there were a lot of different theories being floated about what brought the plane down. And we still don't have anything definitive yet, but it was interesting that early on ISIS took responsibility, and our intelligence and our Pentagon were saying, no, they don't have that capability. Could never have happened. Well, first British intelligence, and now some sources inside U.S. intelligence are suggesting that it's very likely that an explosive brought this down. Not a missile, but perhaps a bomb on board. Again, nothing's been officially confirmed, but it's looking more and more plausible that ISIS may have been able to finagle an explosive device on board here. Just to add a little more gloom and doom to the story, here's Richard Engel last night with Rachel Maddow on MSNBC.
I was also told that ISIS's capability to target aircraft or to attack a sophisticated airport is still not considered as high as Al-Qaeda's. But ISIS is incredibly ambitious. It would attack an aircraft. It would attack a cruise ship. The group has promised to make 9/11 look like a sideshow. So I think it will look for any kind of opportunity, aircraft or beyond aircraft.
Jim, the grisly brutality of ISIS has been well known for a while now, but the fact that they might be able to exact this kind of carnage just takes it to a whole nother level.
Yeah, and you almost give them a little bit of credit that presuming they did actually bring down this airliner, which, as you said, the intelligence agencies are leaning in that direction. They obviously, the reason you do something like this is to inspire terror and fear. This very clearly appears to be directed at Russia. You know, you have taken sides against us in Syria, so we are going to strike back at you. We're going to strike back when you expect it least. And the reason most intelligence agencies had initially dismissed the claim of responsibility was they said they took it down with a missile. The altitude the plane was flying at when it had its incident seemed extremely unlikely that ISIS would have the capability of bringing it down. It simply was too high in the air for that to happen. Now, if they use a bomb that can be, you know, tied, you know, you can attach it to some sort of like air pressure gauge to, you know, go off when it reaches a certain altitude, you got to give credit to ISIS in the sense that they're taking credit for it and trying to throw people off with different claims of how they did it. Also, probably in the last 24 hours, we've seen a lot of unnerving reports about just how little security and government control there is there in the Sinai Peninsula, and lots of flights being canceled, lots of travel warnings being issued, and this is not good for the Egyptian government. It places a very big decision in front of the Russian government, which, by the way, hasn't really been going after ISIS so much as it's been going after the Free Syrian Army and other groups in Syria. So, you know, does this get Putin on our side and taking a more active role against ISIS? Are they going to try to downplay this because this can be seen as blowback for their foreign policy in Syria? A lot of very big open questions remaining right now, Greg, and it's very hard to see a lot of good scenarios coming out of this unless, you know, some reason, you know, Russia decides to completely flatten Raqqa and wipe out ISIS and they take the public relations hit that we would have if we did the same sort of thing.
Wow. Well, we'll certainly see.
That's my optimistic scenario.
That's the optimistic scenario. And in case anybody's wondering, your speakers are working fine, probably.
Your speakers are fine. My voice is not. There you go.
All right. On to the second martini, which could be bad or crazy. Bernie Sanders, of course, is running for president. He's not really a Democrat. He's an independent socialist, I think is how he calls himself. But he is running for the Democratic presidential nomination. And, of course, in the first debate hosted by CNN, Bernie Sanders said this, which probably didn't work too well for his presidential campaign.
And that is that the American people are sick and tired of hearing about your damn emails.
Thank you. Me too.
You know? I got to leave the cackle in there even on the replay. Jim, that was, of course, seen as a great moment for Hillary and a bad move for Bernie Sanders because obviously that was one of Hillary's great vulnerabilities. And there are many ways even a Democrat could go after that without completely rolling over for Hillary. But heading into tomorrow's debate on MSNBC, Mr. Sanders has given an interview to The Wall Street Journal, as you report in The Corner and on the Morning Jolt today. Here's the Wall Street Journal quote. On the issue of Mrs. Clinton's emails, Mr. Sanders didn't say he regretted his debate remarks. Quote, You get 12 seconds to say these things, he said of the debate setting. There's an investigation going on right now. I did not say end the investigation. That's silly. Let the investigation proceed unimpeded. Jim, with apologies to the knight at the end of Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, he used his 12 seconds poorly.
Yeah, I mean, look, on the one hand, as somebody who thinks that Hillary's email server is a legitimate issue, it is nice to see Bernie Sanders coming around. The problem is you kind of basically said exactly what she wanted to hear when she needed to hear it in order to nullify the issue, at least for the Democratic primary. I don't know if there's any givebacks or takebacks. He can claim a mulligan. He can try to get that to change again, but I'm rather skeptical, and I kind of feel like this is a him, you know, at some point in Sanders' headquarters, he's banging his head against the wall saying, "Why did I do that? Why did I do that?" You know, you can't help also but notice that he has lost his standing in Iowa. She now is actually ahead, and he's barely ahead of her in New Hampshire. About a month ago, he was in much better shape. And so it's really frustrating for him to be in this situation. But hey, you know what? Bernie, you had your opportunity and you hesitated.
No, that's exactly right. Yeah, you only get one chance to do that. And he blew it. So it's going to be very hard to put that genie back in the bottle or the toothpaste back in the tube or whatever metaphor you want to use. But on to the crazy martini now, Jim. And this Saturday, one Donald J. Trump will be hosting Saturday Night Live, and some people are not very happy about that, mainly activist Latino groups. Here's Loretta Sanchez on CNN explaining why she doesn't want Trump there.
In particular, we are upset that Mr. Trump is hosting this rather than just being a skit. It is enabling him after he has said these derogatory comments, and NBC Universal said to us, early on, we're not going to stand for this. So we are simply pushing back at SNL and saying, this is not correct, and you are endangering Latinos when you do this type of a thing.
You're endangering Latinos. There's protests outside Rockefeller Center. Some people are threatening to interrupt the live show on Saturday night. Jim, you have a headline on this that says, the dumb, dumb, dumb effort to get Trump off of Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, here's the thing. First of all, let's knock off this. There's violence against Latinos and there's this uprising and, you know, Latinos are hiding in the streets because of the atmosphere of hate whipped up by Donald Trump. Come on. You really hurt your standing and the credibility of your argument when you make this wildly hyperbolic argument. The second thing is that, look, there is actually a much more fertile ground, a much more useful line of argument to use against. I said, look, this does raise an issue of equal time. And for those of us who like to see, people were mixing this up with the fairness doctrine. No. If you're a presidential candidate and a network gives you time to talk, whether it's on a news program, whether it's on an entertainment program, then if they're using public – this is only for broadcast networks, not for cable. If they're using public airwaves, they have to give the other candidates a same amount of time in roughly the same time slot and circumstances and things like that. And this did happen back in, I want to say, one of the previous cycles, one of the campaigns. I think it was Lindsey Graham or somebody did try to push against this when one of their rivals had gotten a chance to appear on this. So, you know, we don't know how much time Donald Trump is going to have on screen doing wacky things on SNL. And oh, by the way, for all my standing as a Trump critic, I think this is going to go very well for him. I think the fact that he shows that he can laugh at himself is going to make people like Donald Trump more than his, you know, usual brash persona. Let's say he does, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever amount of time of airtime. Any other presidential campaign can say, hey, you know, because he got that amount of time, effectively free time to make the case for himself, I deserve that same amount. And NBC can decide whether they want to do it at, you know, at same time, whether they want to do it on Saturday Night Live, whether they want to do it on different affiliates. There are different options they have, but they have to give the same kind of stage to each candidate. So that's a more fertile one. Instead, apparently they're saying they're going to pay $5,000 to anybody who can disrupt the broadcast, which is just the heckler's veto. And I think it's a good indicator of where the left's instinct lie with this. Ultimately, they don't want him to speak. They don't want Donald Trump to be allowed to even do something silly like Saturday Night Live. They want him driven from public life and the public debate, and that's just not how things work in America.
You know, this could be a genius move by Lorne Michaels given the size of the Republican field. So, you know, he's got his hosting potentially booked through the next few months. You know, it might not be as exciting when it's like, ladies and gentlemen, George Pataki. I know Don Pardo's not there anymore, but
That was a pretty good Don Pardo there, Greg.
Oh, thanks.
The only thing I'd also observe is that there are some guys who might stay in the race just long enough so they get to host the show. On that happy note,
We will not have the Three Martini Lunch on Friday, but we will be back on Monday. So have a wonderful weekend, everyone. Enjoy Saturday Night Live if you plan to watch, and we will reconvene on Monday. Jim, have a good weekend.
Actually, a Thursday, Greg.
Oh, that's right. That is true. Jim will actually not be back until Thursday, but there will be a full slate of podcasts next week. So join us Monday for the next Three Martini Lunch.